This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hello, I'm calling about the studio apartment for rent. You said no pets, but my two Great Danes wear diapers. Would that be okay?
I don't know if that's real. Is that real? Did someone actually say that? Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to your local Santa Barbara realtor. I'm here with Talent on Loan from the California Association of Realtors. Today's a different program because of the holidays and Festivus and all you Seinfeld fanatics out there. So we're not going to do a weekly multiple listing update. We're not going to do year-to-date sales. In fact, now that I think about it, we're just not even going to do the show. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to play music. We actually do have music. We actually have music that we'll play. Today's guest has been on for a few years, once a year. And last time he was on, I actually wasn't here, and neither was he. Can you answer that riddle? Last year, he was on December. See, I should have the date here. You were on December 18th, 2017, and because of the fire... I went out to Scottsdale, and where were you?
I was in Los Osos, up north by Morro Bay.
We both abandoned Santa Barbara, and that was a weird one. So here we are doing another weird one. Paul Cronshaw is Santa Barbara's most renowned bookkeeper. He started the Dewey Decimal. Oh, wait a second, Richard. You gave me the wrong introduction again. He's not a bookkeeper. He's a beekeeper. Sorry about that, Paul. And Paul wrote a song. Can we play that? Mm-hmm. He's actually performing this live, and now it's gone? Oh, still playing. Oh, good, good. That is Flight of the Bumblebee, and I found it on YouTube. It's a minute and 40 seconds. Yuja Wang performed it, and I got to tell you. So it's called Flight of the Bumblebee. Paul Cronshaw co-founded the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. He trains and teaches beekeeping, and in fact, he's got a class coming up we'll talk about. We've got a lot of updates on the bees. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Paul Cronshaw.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again.
That was the longest. We have time for the interview now. The introduction was so long.
I'll be gone.
I'll be gone. All your bee jokes that you have. But first, just we're going to talk about the State of the Union, your report on local bees. But the backstory is the Beekeepers Association has been around a long time, and you, what is the goal? What is the mission statement there?
So we've been established in 2011, and it was established with the mission of education, teaching people about beekeeping and the plight of the bees and how to save the bees and how to help the bees.
And we love the bees because without the bees, we're not eating almonds. We're not eating.
That's correct.
They still import a gazillion bees.
Yes, they do.
From the Midwest.
From the Midwest, all over the country. It's called migratory beekeeping. And they come in with semi-trucks around about February. And in fact, you'll see the bees up and down the coast now being placed in preparation for moving into the almonds, which are going to be pollinated around about February. And they need X number of bees, millions of bees, billions of bees, so to speak, to pollinate that nut.
And how much water for that nut? We got no water for the almonds.
We didn't have any not much water, but at least it's less than some of the other plants and animals that are around.
So I always encourage people to, if you find honeybees, to go online to the Bee Rescue Hotline, sbba.org is Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association, sbba.org. So you will be teaching a class.
Yes, there's a class coming up in February, and it's five Wednesdays from 5:30 until 8. And we'll be talking about how to become a urban beekeeper. It's a new and up-and-coming movement to help save the bees. And the classes have been usually sold out. I only limit it to 20. And as a result of that is to get your seat in there quickly. I've already got it almost halfway filled right now.
Wow.
And so it's a great class. We've talked a lot about bees. And as we know with bees, like many insects, it's bringing us together. So it's a great event. And so I do this twice a year. I do one in the springtime, and I do one in the fall.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that. You'll have to tell me about the springtime. And mm-hmm. So people go to the same website?
Go to the same website, and you can sign up for the class at the website. It's under sbba.org, classes.
Classes, and it's taught right down here in downtown Santa Barbara, and it's starting February 5th, four Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yep.
Beekeepers Association, Paul Cronshaw. So, yeah, so the migratory bees, and they come in and they go all over the country.
All over the country.
Very important.
They go over the country. They go up to northern Maine to do the blueberries, across to do the clover and Dakotas, down into California to do the oranges, and then they also do the almonds. All over the country. It's a huge, huge industry. And we have to do that because we're finding that we don't have enough native pollinators to do that. So in order to marry the two together, which is agricultural plants or monocrops, we have to have the bees to do the work. And they're very, very effective at doing that.
Now, is it true that the native bees, they could do the work, but they don't want to do the work? So you need to get bees from other countries
sometimes
to
they do
the work. Is that what you're saying?
That too. There is one, there's a movie out there that they show they've been flying them in from Australia because they were short one time. Can you feature putting bees onto a 747 and bringing it from Australia to here? But that didn't go too well because sometimes when you bring in other insects, they bring in diseases. So we have to be very careful what crosses our borders.
Oh, my God. It's so complex. Somebody's got to figure all this out.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing here, too. And that creature has just been around a long time, and we're still trying to figure it out. And I've been doing this for 40 years, started when I was a senior at Santa Barbara High School, and I just keep learning about the bees every day. They're just my teachers, and that's what I tell students here. You're going to be a student of the bee.
Do you look like you're in good shape, you know?
Right.
Are you a health-conscious guy?
I am a health-conscious, basically, too. There, I did a radio talk show just recently on being a vegan beekeeper.
Now, vegans eat honey?
There's a big controversy about it. It depends on where you're at and what you're thinking in your mind because it's coming from an insect.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's very interesting here. So I find that over time here, I've eaten less and less of it. And people then switch from honey to maple syrup.
Are you a vegan?
I'm a vegan. Or a plant-based. We use the word plant-based because sometimes that word is kind of shows different kind of connotations here. But that's the way I've been practicing it. I do it for health reasons. Because of things that happened in my past. But now I'm moving more into the animal side of it, which is, and then also there's the environmental side of it, which is really huge.
Right, right. What it takes to produce meat. Have you had that new, what is it called? The Impossible Burger?
Yes, yes. It's very interesting. It's so lifelike, like a real burger here.
Kind of right now, but I'm sure some vegetarians don't even want that experience.
Because
they don't want the meat experience.
No, that's right.
My Uncle Joe was a health hygienist, vegetarian for health reasons, and he was in the 1931 Fiesta Parade because he and his kid brother hitchhiked from Brooklyn during the Depression, and they were on the road, and they were in Santa Barbara, and prior to that, they were up in. Down in Palm Springs, Taquise Canyon. And my Uncle Joe was arrested because people came by and saw his kid brother, who was probably 17, Joe was 21, looked emaciated. He looked like a Biafran child because he hadn't eaten for 40 days.
Oh, wow.
He was on a 40-day fast, water only.
Right.
Uncle Joe lived to be almost 90, and his kid brother lived to be 96.
Yeah.
And Uncle Joe was a vegetarian, but he would come for Thanksgiving and eat turkey, and then he would fast for a week to purge his body of the toxins.
Right.
And that's the way he spoke as well. He enunciated everything. He made his own shoes. He was a wacky guy, and you remind me of Uncle Joe. So you're a wacky beekeeper.
When you're in the world of healthcare and keeping bees here, it's an interesting adventure, a journey. And it's a journey because, you know, that's what people are doing, is doing a journey with life.
And you taught me that you don't really want to throw bee honey into really hot tea.
We don't here, too. You want to keep it below 110. So it's always, you know, you cook it first or boil it first, put the tea in, let it seep, let the temperature go down, and that's the very last thing you want to put in.
That's okay. Not more than 110.
Yeah, because honey is a real food. It's a real food. It's got, you know, many different good health elements to it, and it comes from plants. The bees are just the carrier.
Oh,
when you think about it, because plants can't move, so bees do the sexual reproduction between them, right? So they carry the pollen and the honey. Pollen is the fruit, is the protein with the bees carry around.
I don't think you could say that on the radio.
Can't you do that? Exactly.
We got to have to edit this out later.
Well, I teach biology, so I'm a biology teacher. That's how that works.
So when it seems like when you come on in the past, I mean, last year was the Thomas Fire. And we had both vacated Santa Barbara, and you brought in some pictures. For those of you in the audience, if you could squint, maybe you'll see these. And so what am I looking at here?
So the fire was the first incident that we had with the bees dealing with the smoke, because bees don't like smoke. And as a result of that, vegetation got burned up, and then the smoke kind of caused a little bit of stress in the bees. But then they calmed down after that. But hell, come along January the 9th, we had the big incident in Montecito, which, of course, the denuded hillsides produced a lot of debris. And the debris came down off the hill and wiped out one of our apiaries, the educational apiary in Montecito, and carried away 20 hives at 3 o'clock in the morning. The bees were all in their bed, they're all sleeping, and just pushed it out here too. So that was a travesty in happening here right now, and just one of nature's things here. We were able to save one hive from there, and that was a hive that was in a log that I had been treasuring for 4 years. And thanks to some of the local firemen and women, they were able to rescue that log and carry it someplace. So that was the only one we rescued from the whole place over there. So it was a sad thing to see that happen. But as we know with nature, nature does provide with different ways. And so we were able to have been able to reconstitute the bees. And so that was the travesty that we had with that incident on January the 9th.
And apiary is, like, instead of an aviary.
Aviaries are birds. Right. Apiary is where we keep hives. Now, it could be one hive, or it could be 400 hives. It's still called an apiary. It's a location or a site.
Now, why isn't it aviary?
Aviary with a B?
Aviary sounds better.
Because it's apis, apiary, apis mellifera is the scientific name for beekeeping. An apiculturist is a beekeeper, technically speaking.
So what about street location? Where was this?
This was on East Valley Lane, which was just below Randall Road. And there was that whole San Ysidro, The things flowed around. So the house that we had, the beehives had, it didn't make it, as well as a lot of the neighbors. So we found bee parts all the way down to the beach.
And you had 20 hives?
Hives.
Each hive could have been how many bees?
Oh, each hive. Well, you took it this way here, too. Sometimes in the two stories, you're up to 30,000 bees to 60,000 bees. So do the math on that.
Well, 30 times 60, that's 600,000. Mm-hmm. 600 to 900,000 bees.
Yeah, exactly.
That's over the top.
It is, yeah. So was that incident, too. That incident was over the top, too.
That's so sad. My guest, Paul Cronshaw, he's co-founded the Santa Barbara Beekeepers Association. And coming up, he's teaching a class in February. You can go to sbba.org. sbba.org and take a listen to what and so people could actually come out of this class and become an urban beekeeper.
That's right, urban beekeeper. Yeah, we teach the basics. That's why it's an introductory course. And as we know, beekeeping is a lifelong journey, and it works very, very well with the people that we come and learn about beekeeping. And it's been a great pleasure to teach it for the last 11 years.
And if someone, I mean, people take this class, maybe they're not going to become
I've had people just for the information.
I wish I could keep a hive. I mean, that's why I first met Paul. He had to come to my backyard, and we had a huge, well, I tell you what, when we come back from the break, I'll tell you about my shed in my backyard and the beard effect, that happened, and that's not a, sexual thing. My guest, Paul Cronshaw, so we're going to come back. You got a New York Times article about bees?
Yes, I do. It's one that just came out on November the 27th called The Insect Apocalypse is Here.
Apocalypse Now. Yep. We need theme music from that. And then we're going to let you know what you can do to help and what's going on. And how do you treat a bee sting? And what are the levels of bee stings? Oh, you think that came through? That was me slapping my neck. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.